I thank Brother Ken for his prayer, as well as you who have prayed for the one who is standing up here this evening. The title of the message is, It's All About the Blood. In 2005, a commuter train in Los Angeles struck an SUV on the tracks, and the train derailed and struck another train, causing 11 deaths and over 200 injuries. There was one story coming out of the accident that gripped California in particular. It involved a man who was on the train. He had been called in early to work to go to an aerospace plant in Burbank, and because of that, he was riding the train that morning when normally he wouldn't have been. He was sitting upstairs in the double-decker car when the wreck occurred, and he recalled waking up to find himself trapped under the debris and covered with blood. He realized he had been badly injured, and using the blood that was oozing from his own body, he used his finger to write a note to his family, telling them that he loved them. Now, in a sense, that's exactly what Jesus Christ has done for us. Using his own blood, he wrote a message of love to you and I. And there was great significance in the shedding of his blood. Today, we understand the importance and the value of the blood in our bodies. Without it, there is no life. The average adult body has a little over 5 quarts of blood circulating through it at all times. This blood has some very important jobs. The blood transports food to our body's cells so that they can grow and reproduce more cells. These cells then use the food or burn it in order to provide energy for the body. For the cells to be able to do this, they need oxygen. You guessed it, it's the blood that gets the oxygen to the cells. Not only does the blood carry oxygen to the cells so they can burn food and make energy, but it also takes away from the cells the wastes that are given off, such as carbon dioxide, in the process. The cells in our bodies have a watery liquid that's around them, and it's the blood that supplies this liquid. Our bodies consist of a lot of water. Every part of the body needs water to operate properly. The blood distributes water throughout the body where it's needed. And when you work or play or exercise hard, the muscles give off heat, and the blood sees that this heat is spread out throughout the body, and the blood also then takes the excess heat to the skin where it's released. The blood also carries cells and chemicals to parts of the body as needed, some of which is to fight off bacteria and viruses. So physically speaking, the blood is extremely important. But even more so when we consider our spiritual lives and our eternal soul, the Bible is clear on the importance of the blood. Not our own blood, but the blood of the sacrifice for sin. Now, whether it was the blood of an animal sacrifice under the old covenant or the blood of Jesus Christ under the new covenant, the Bible says in Hebrews 9, verse 22, and almost all things are by the law purged with blood, and without shedding of blood is no remission or no forgiveness. Great significance is placed on the blood. There had to be a shedding of blood. In Hebrews 9, a little bit further down in the chapter, past where Brother Ken read, in verses 16, beginning at 16, for where a testament is, there must also of necessity be the death of the testator, for a testament is of force after men are dead. Otherwise, it is of no strength at all while the testator liveth. Whereupon neither the first testament, which was dedicated without blood. You know, the will that we've dealt with since my parents had passed away, it was of no effect while they lived. But once they were both gone, that will went into effect. And what it said had value and took effect and was put into place. And here, the point being made here is that in a covenant or a testament, even the old covenant that was with the animal sacrifices, in order for that covenant to be in effect, there had to be death. There had to be something that died, a shedding of blood. Likewise, in the new covenant with Jesus Christ, when he was to establish the new covenant, he had to die for that testament or that covenant to be effective. So when we talk about the blood of Jesus Christ, and when scripture like Romans 3:25, in referring to Christ, it says, whom God has set forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood, to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are past through the forbearance of God. When we talk about the blood of Jesus Christ, we're not just talking about the liquid itself, but we're talking about what Christ's blood represents. In other words, the whole completed work of the cross. His substitutionary sacrificial death on your behalf and on mine. Now, the blood of Christ is mentioned at least 30 times in the New Testament. It's the main term that's used to refer to the atoning work of Christ. And the blood of Jesus, Peter, in referring to an individual, like you and I as believers, and I'm assuming that pretty well everyone here this evening is a believer, but if you're not, it still applies. And at some point, I hope that what Peter is referring to, you can agree with him and say, I agree with what he's saying. But Peter says, in referring to the finished work of the cross and the fact that you and I as believers have been bought back by God and put in a right relationship with him, he says it was only possible because of what? The precious or the valuable blood of Jesus Christ. Interesting that that word precious means valuable. So a reasonable question to ask would be, what makes the blood of Jesus so valuable? Or what makes the shedding of his blood different than the animal sacrifices of the old covenant? Well, Hebrews 10:4, and when you're in Hebrews 9 and 10, and in that section, you have a lot of verses, a lot of talk about the covenant and the blood of Jesus. But Hebrews 10:4 pretty much answers both of those questions very simply. For it says, for it is not possible that the blood of bulls and of goats should take away sins. In other words, Christ's sacrifice was a superior sacrifice. It was superior. The Old Testament sacrifices could never take away sins, but all they could do was cover them over in preparation for the sacrifice of Christ, whose shedding of blood could come and then take away the sin. The new covenant that's based upon the shedding of Christ's blood, his death, promised that sins would be completely removed. So much that God said, as quoted in Hebrews 8:12, he's referring to Jeremiah 31. He said, for I will be merciful to their unrighteousness, and their sins and their iniquities will I remember no more. No more. Meaning they're taken away. Now, it's not that Christ's blood had any power of its own. It was human blood, like your blood and like my blood. But because Jesus shed his blood as a perfect, sinless sacrifice in his atoning work, God could remove the sin completely to be remembered no more. I think that's something to kind of jump around about a little bit. I know we're not Pentecostal or anything, but you know what I mean? To get a little bit excited about, don't you think? I kind of like to show emotion sometimes, and I know Ken and I sometimes we kind of get to laughing down here at school sometimes, or in the office, and I'll kind of jump around laughing, and you ought to see him sometimes too. Well, maybe we ought to get a little more excited about the blood of Jesus Christ. along with the thought of sin not being removed under the old covenant sacrifices, neither could the conscience of the person committing the sins be cleansed. Now that's interesting. I ask you, how valuable is forgiveness if the conscience is not cleansed? Isn't that something we long for when you want forgiveness? You want your conscience clean. You don't want your conscience bringing it back up and saying, well, I'm not sure what's, or reminding you, but you want it clean so that it's behind you and it's forgotten. As much as our human minds can forget, but forgotten by God. Hebrews 10 verses, the first few verses there of that chapter. For the law, having a shadow of good things to come and not the very image of the things, can never with those sacrifices which they offered year by year continually make the comers thereunto perfect. For then would they not have ceased to be offered, because that the worshipers once purged should have had no more conscience of sins. In other words, if they cleaned the conscience, they wouldn't have had a conscience of sins anymore. But he goes on to say, but in those sacrifices, there is a remembrance again made of sins every year. That's why they had to keep doing it. The conscience wasn't cleaned. There had to be a continual going over the same sacrifices because it was an insuperior sacrifice to Christ. Hebrews 9:9, referring to animal sacrifices of the high priest, it says, which was a figure or a symbol for the time then present in which were offered both gifts and sacrifices that could not make him that did the service perfect as pertaining to the conscience. In other words, it didn't clear the conscience. In order to enjoy full forgiveness for one's sin, the guilt of the conscience needs removed. The Old Testament sacrifices could not do it, but Christ's sacrifice does, and it will if we'll let him. It will if we'll let him. Back to chapter 9. Again, rereading a couple of the verses Brother Ken read. Verse 13, for if the blood of bulls and of goats and the ashes of an heifer sprinkling the unclean sanctify to the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? Implying that, yes, the conscience is cleansed. How much more, meaning much more superior to them is the blood of Christ that would do away with sin and even cleanse a person's conscience from the guilt of it. The superiority of Christ's sacrifice, the shedding of his blood, is evident in that it removes sin and it cleanses the conscience of guilt. Now Hebrews 10 and verses 11 to 14 there give another aspect of the superiority of Christ's sacrifice. It talks there, I guess I'll read them quickly. And every priest standeth daily ministering and offering oftentimes the same sacrifices which can never take away sins. But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down on the right hand of God from henceforth, expecting it till his enemies be made his footstool. For by one offering he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. The old covenant sacrifices, as I said, had to be repeated over and over, but Christ sacrifice was once and done. Superior sacrifice. Never repeated. Never to be repeated. Amazing power. Significance of that blood. That it cleanses. 2,000 years ago it could cleanse. And now it still cleanses today. That's amazing. Great significance of the blood of Christ. What makes Christ's blood so valuable? It's a superior sacrifice. And then secondly, the blood of Christ is so valuable because of the results that it brings. For any person who genuinely believes and places faith in the blood of Christ, his substitutionary death on their behalf for their sins, there is the promise of forgiveness of sins. We've been already talking about that and alluding to it in speaking of the superiority of Christ's sacrifice. But listen to these verses that speak personally to any individual who by faith accepts the finished work of Christ and his shed blood. Romans 5, 8 and 9. But God commendeth his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more. And that means even more amazing and wonderful. Even more amazing and wonderful than being now justified by his blood. We shall be saved from wrath through him. Justified. Christ's righteousness is put into my account, into your account, solely based on his pure, sinless, shed blood. Even more amazing and wonderful. This declared righteousness for the believer not only includes the pardon from the penalty of sin, but as we said, there is freedom from the guilt of sin as well. And Ephesians 1 says, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. And as a result of Christ's shed blood and his death on Calvary, the ransom for your soul and my soul was paid. God's paid the price so that then you and I can be free, free from the slave market of sin. All the more shame, shame on me, shame on any of you if we think we need to be back in that slave market and dabble around. The price has been paid. We've been redeemed, bought out, purchased by the own blood, the precious blood of Jesus. Well, Christ's blood has an ongoing cleansing effect for the believer as well. In 1 John 1:7, but if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin, an ongoing cleansing. As the believer lives in the truth of God's word, holy in position before God because of Christ's atoning blood, purposing to live holy in practical day-by-day living, the blood of Christ continues to cleanse. It continues to work. Isn't that amazing? Because I need it from day to day, don't you? Even though we're purposing to live a holy life or from day to day to live for the Lord, I need that ongoing cleansing. Because too many times the humanness comes out. The self. It's not that we no longer sin, but when we do, Christ's shed blood is there to cleanse us. It's there to cleanse us. Well, Christ's blood results in forgiveness, and secondly, it brings a change in our relationship with God. Over in Colossians, let me back up and read. Hebrews 10:10 says, by the which will we are sanctified, we're set apart through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. It means we are made holy in position before God. We're set apart to him. And then Colossians 1, and reading some verses there, verse 20 says, and having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself, by him I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven. And you that were sometime alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled. In other words, he's given us peace. He's reconciled us. He's brought us into a right relationship with him again. And we have peace with God, the Creator. Peace. We're not his enemy. He's our Father. We're his children. Hebrews 13:12 talks about this change that takes place in our relationship with God. Wherefore Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people. In other words, change them and set them apart with his own blood. suffered without the gate. And Ephesians 2:13 says, "But now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off, we were far away from God, are now made nigh by the blood of Christ." He's brought us close. Something we couldn't do apart from the blood of Jesus Christ. It's a spiritual union with God, fellowshipping with Him, with Christ. Christ's blood changes a believer's relationship with God and sets him or her apart, holy and standing, which leads to a setting apart, I believe, in practical living, desiring to obey and live for His purpose. You know, the blood brings about an overcoming power to be able to do that. You can only do so much living above sin or trying to do the right thing on your own strength, and I can only do so much on my own. But when we have overcoming power to walk above sin, to walk above temptation, to turn away when it's definitely not me that can do that, but it's the overcoming power of God, that's a result of the blood of Christ. The blood of Christ brings forgiveness, brings a change in our relationship. And thirdly, Christ's blood brings something we all like. You know, I just happened to think, and I don't know if I can get it together now. It's not if you, that statement I was made with Vince Lombardi, it's not if you win, but how you play the game. That's not exactly what he said. But I've heard that one. It's not if you win. I think if we're all honest, when we play, most of us like to win. We like to win. Christ's blood brings us victory. Wow. Winners. Isn't that great? Hebrews 2:14, "For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same, that through death, shedding of his blood, he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil." We don't have to worry about the power of death. Yes, there's still the humanness of us strays away from death, and we don't want to have any part of it. That's the human side of us. But because of Christ's shed blood, the power of death has been struck down. And we are victors, and even Satan knows that. And that's why he comes against us so hard. Because he knows he's already defeated. Revelation 12:10-11, "I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now has come salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night." And that's a good verse on the eve of Halloween. He's been cast down. And they overcame him by what? The blood. You'll see a lot of blood on some of this Halloween stuff, but I'm telling you, it doesn't match the blood of Christ. It overrules all of it. The blood of Christ. He don't want to hear anything about that. Because it's doomed him. The significance of Christ's blood. Why is his blood so valuable? It was a superior sacrifice. Christ's sacrifice results in forgiveness of sin, a positive change in our relationship before God, victory for all believers. It's all about the blood. Without it, we have nothing. These aren't my words, but listen to them. It's not cathedrals. It's not steeples. It's not crosses made of gold. It's not just sentimental stories that have been passed down from old. It's not religion or tradition that can save the souls of man. It took the sinless blood of one holy lamb. It's all about the blood. It's all about Calvary. It's all about mercy flowing down an old rugged tree. It's all about grace. It's all about a sacrifice. God's love is all about the blood of Jesus Christ. It's the scarlet thread that ties the beginning to the end. It's the river of forgiveness to wash away our sin. It's the healing stream, a fountain, an eternal cleansing flood. And the heartbeat of the gospel will forever be what? The blood. Oh, the blood of Jesus. It's all about the blood. God's love is all about the blood of Jesus Christ. I trust he's been exalted this evening. May we be excited, thrilled, yet challenged and changed by the blood of Jesus Christ.